This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Traditional Naturopath Podcast. I'm glad you could join us again this week. It's been a couple weeks, I guess, since we last did a podcast. Well, let me take that back. We did one recently, but it was all just the audio from the video that I was highlighting on the blog that was concerning health freedoms, and I really wanted you to get that entire video's information, so we just played the audio, and of course I didn't go into anything else during that particular podcast. So that's why I want to come back and pick up where we left off in the blog and cover some of the things that we talked about. The last podcast, as I say, was just the video, and that was number 26. This is number 27, and this is March the 24th as I record this. So, don't get all confused about where we're going with the podcast, because I know that little hiatus in there when I just played the video's information, that could have thrown you off. But anyway, let's get into what it is that we want to cover. And to do that, let me back up just past the last podcast to one item that I didn't mention. And that is, on March the 14th, I had a blog entry about omega-3 fatty acids. There was a study that came out that says that omega-3 fatty acids can slash colorectal cancer risk in men by, get this, 66%. Now that is very significant. And so I didn't want to just pass by this study as far as the podcast is concerned. Basically, omega-3 fatty acids, which are found in flaxseed, fish, and other foods, can reduce the risk of colorectal cancer by 2/3 in men, a new study suggests. There is one caveat, though. The effect is seen in men who do not take aspirin. You know, there is a recommendation, particularly for men that are over 40-ish, 50 age time frame, to take low dosages of aspirin daily, and that will help in terms of preventing heart issues. Now, while we're on that particular recommendation, aspirin, as you know, or may not know, I don't know how much you've studied particularly on aspirin, but aspirin is salicylic acid. And at the component, the main component there in aspirin, is derived originally from the willow bark. And so that salicylic acid component was, what's the best way to say it, synthesized out of willow bark. And that is really the original, quote-unquote, aspirin. So there are aspirins that are derived more naturally from willow bark as opposed to chemically synthesizing salicylic acid for aspirin. Now, the reason I say all that is, again, it is more beneficial, it is less harsh on your system to use the original natural source of a particular beneficial compound. For instance, salicylic acid, instead of chemically deriving it, if you get it from a natural source like willow bark root, your body will absorb it and use it better, and it will be a better source for your body, and it won't be as harsh. There's a lot of people that can't take aspirin because the chemically synthesized salicylic acid is so powerful, so strong, it irritates their stomach, which is why they say a low dosage to prevent it from irritating your stomach, since they want you to take it every day. Whereas, if you were to take a natural willow bark extract, it would be less likely to damage your stomach, and you'd still get the beneficial salicylic acid naturally with natural enzymes, natural components, if you will, that would help you absorb it and use it more correctly, because it's more like a food than it is a drug. Okay? And that's unfortunately what has happened in a lot of cases, is they'll find an element or a compound or something that is beneficial in an herbal extract, but then they'll synthesize it out chemically, and that's when you start getting side effects and things like that, because it's just not naturally derived. You don't have the co-agents with it and the things that are inherent in the herb that will help you absorb it and utilize it correctly in your body. But that's a side topic. I just wanted to mention that while we, kind of on the related subject. But what I wanted to say is that for omega-3 fatty acids, which is this article that we are talking about, mentions lowers colorectal cancer risk in men by 66%. An excellent source for omega-3 fatty acids is krill oil, Antarctic Pure Krill Oil. Now, it is an awesome, awesome source for omega-3 fatty acids. And the only place I know to get it, now maybe you know other places, the only place I know that you can get it is from Dr. Mercola's site. And I like reading some of Dr. Mercola's articles. Very good, very insightful articles. But he has on his website a source for Antarctic Pure Krill Oil. And it is awesome. It supports your heart. It supports blood sugar health, health of the joints, the brain, the nervous system, cells, skin, all kinds of areas that baby boomers, like myself, are interested in supporting. And just by way of information, first of all, I don't get anything out of any krill oil that you might buy from Dr. Mercola. We don't have any kind of agreements. He doesn't know me from Adam, I guarantee you, and I don't have any connection with him at all. Other than I am a customer, I do buy the Antarctic krill oil, and I do take it every single day myself. So I just want to give you that caveat up front. I only know him as a customer, but it is an excellent, excellent source of omega-3 fatty acids, and that's the important thing. Now, I just don't eat Antarctic krill, okay? Even though that's an excellent source, I'm not a whale, and I don't eat krill, okay? But I do get it in this natural supplement that I get from Dr. Mercola. Okay, then we had the video. All right, I'm going back in time a little bit, and then I'm catching you up. Now, here's the next item in the blog past that, and that is, have you seen the Ambien and Lunesta commercials? They're sleep aids, and they advertise on TV, and one of them, I'm sure you probably remember, has this little cartoon butterfly that floats through, Have you seen those commercials? Okay. Did anywhere in the commercial, did they tell you that they might make you crazy? Make you go out of your mind? Probably not. Oh my. I tell you, they are constantly finding side effects for these drugs. And these drugs, I tell you, the more I read about them, the worse they are. But this particular side effect is very strange, and that is it can cause strange behavior like driving and eating while you are asleep. Now, I don't know about you, but that's bad. I think that's a bad thing. Getting in your car and driving while you're asleep, not a good idea. And then there are other people that sit there and eat all night long while they're asleep, and then they wonder why they're gaining so much weight. Because they're sleep eating. Whoever heard of that? But it's a side effect of Lunesta and Ambien. According to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, which announced Wednesday that strong new warnings would be placed on the labels of 13 drugs, they also ordered the makers of the well-known drugs Ambien and Lunesta and the producers of 11 other commonly used sleeping pills to create patient flyers explaining how to safely use them. Because there have been people driving and eating while sleeping. Whoa. All right. I tell you. Makes you wonder. Okay, next item. Antibiotics are overprescribed for sinus infections. Now, I have heard this before, but this comes from a recent study published in the Archives of Otolaryngology, which is head and neck surgery. Man, what a word. I'm constantly having fun trying to pronounce these words. So if you are a medical doctor that are constantly using these kinds of $34 words, then you can laugh at me. That's okay. I don't mind. All right. U.S. doctors are overprescribing antibiotics for sinus infections, which are often caused by viruses and not bacteria, according to a study released Monday. Now, this is from an article that I posted on March the 20th, so this has been a few days ago. But a review of two national surveys of visits to doctors and recommended treatments found antibiotics to be prescribed for about 82% of acute sinus infections and nearly 70% of chronic sinus infections, according to researchers at the University of Nebraska Medical School, Medical Center, I should say, in Omaha. Now, the reason this is bad is, from my point of view, is a couple of reasons. One is antibiotics. If you take the word apart, anti is against, bio is life. So they are against life. That's what they're designed to do. They're designed to kill bacteria for the prevention of disease. The problem is they kill bacteria of all kinds. They are not discriminating in the kind of bacteria they kill. And there are bacteria in your stomach, what we call gut bacteria, that are beneficial. They help you digest food. They are, in essence, good bacteria that you want to encourage to be in your gut because it will help you with your digestive health and so forth. And it's the way the body is designed to work. So, probiotics, pro meaning for, and then bio meaning life, probiotics are supplements that can be taken to increase and enhance the good bacteria. Now, why would you want to do that if they exist in there naturally? Matter of fact, a child, when they're born, have these bacteria already in their gut. They, you know, get them through their mother's connection to their mother's system, I assume. But at any rate, they're there even from just being a baby on up because they're required to be there. Now, the problem is, antibiotics will kill those bacteria as it will kill other bacteria. And if you remove those kinds of bacteria from your gut doesn't work properly. Okay, so you need the good bacteria. You need the probiotics. So if you've been on a, and I'll say it for this reason, if you've been on a regimen that is intensively antibiotic, you need, as soon as you go off, to go on probiotics to build those good bacteria back up. So, that's the first thing. The other thing is, you get to the point that the bacteria, the bad bacteria, become resistant to the use of the antibiotic. So, if you overuse the antibiotic, it's not going to be as effective if you were to really seriously need it. You'd be in a situation that you absolutely need it. So, a lot of good reasons not to use antibiotics unless you absolutely positively have to. And that's what this study was about. All right, next item. Another science fiction story that is rapidly becoming true. Boy, this one really, sometimes you read them and you just, your mouth drops open. It's hard to believe. But this one, again, it sounds like some kind of old 1950s science fiction movie. Scientists breed a new form of mosquito for good reasons. Then they release it into the wild only to have it take over. Does that sound like an old science fiction movie? Well, guess what? According to the BBC, this was an article in the BBC, a genetically modified mosquito could fight malaria. Now get this. GM mosquito could fight malaria is the headline. GM here is genetically modified. The picture of the article says the GM mosquitoes could be identified by their green fluorescent eyes. And I've got a picture in the blog of the eyes of this mosquito. Ew, it looks weird. I'm telling you. A genetically modified strain, and let me, this is, I'm reading from the article. A genetically modified strain of malaria-resistant mosquito has been created. That's past tense, so it's already been created. That is better able to survive than disease-carrying insects. Now get this, the natural insects that are already out there, this genetically modified version is better able to survive. And they did that on purpose. It gives new impetus to one strategy for controlling the disease. Introduce the GM insects into wild populations in the hope that they will take over. Now get this, you're going to modify the genes of one insect in the hopes they take over from the other insects so that the only ones left are the ones that you've created. This is their plan. The insect carries a gene that prevents infection by the malaria parasite. Details of the work by a U.S. team appear in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences Journal. The researchers caution that their studies are still in an early stage and it could be 10 years or more before engineered insects are released into the environment. Well, you know what that tells me? That tells me we got 10 years to stop them. Can you imagine? I mean, how arrogant is man that he thinks he's going to modify an organism, release it into the environment, have it take over from the original natural version, and then assume everything's going to be fine, they didn't overlook a thing, oh yeah, who knows what these new mosquitoes are going to be like and what they're going to do. I'm amazed at the arrogance of some people. As much as they miss it concerning drugs, as much as they come back and say, oh yeah, this drug that was supposed to help your heart, oh, actually, it hurts your heart. Whoop. Mea culpa. My bad. Come on, folks. You're going to take over from one natural organism and then have this genetically mutated, created, monstrous version that's going to take over? Oh, man. I tell you. Get on my soapbox on some of these things. Last item for the week. Do you want some lighter fluid with those chicken McNuggets? Wow. Yeah, that's right. Lighter fluid. This was an article. It was in another blog that I connected, I did a link to. And let me just read you the quote from it. Most folks assume that a chicken McNugget is a piece of fried chicken, right? Wrong. Did you know, for example, that a McDonald's chicken McNugget is 56% corn? You know, I mean, you're eating basically mostly corn. Well, what else is in a chicken McNugget besides corn? Well, to a lesser extent, chicken. Okay, yeah, that's in there. But there's a book called The Omnivore's Dilemma that describes all the 38 ingredients that make up a chicken McNugget, one of which I'll bet you'll never guess. McNuggets contain several completely synthetic ingredients, quasi-edible substances that ultimately come not from corn or soybean fields, but from petroleum refineries or chemical plants. These chemicals are what make up modern processed food by keeping the organic materials in them from going bad or looking strange after months in the freezer or on the road. Listed first are the leavening agents, in quotes, sodium aluminum phosphate, monocalcium phosphate, sodium acid pyrophosphate, and calcium lactate. These are antioxidants added to keep the various animal and vegetable fats involved in a chicken McNugget from turning rancid. Then there are the so-called anti-foaming agents like dimethylpolysilazine, added to the cooking oil to keep the starches from binding to air molecules so as to produce a foam during the fry. The problem is evidently grave enough to warrant adding a toxic chemical to the food. According to the Handbook of Food Additives, dimethylpolysilazine is a suspected carcinogen, an established mutagen, a tumorigen, which means it produces tumors, and reproductive effector. It causes problems in the reproductive tract. It's also flammable. But perhaps the most alarming ingredient in a chicken McNugget is tertiary butyl hydroquinone, or TBHQ, an antioxidant derived from petroleum that is either sprayed directly on the nugget or the inside of the box it comes in to, quote, help preserve freshness. According to the Consumer's Dictionary of Food Additives, TBHQ is a form of butane, which is lighter fluid. The FDA allows processors to use sparingly on our food. It can comprise no more than 0.02% of the oil in a nugget, which is probably just as well considering that ingesting a single gram of TBHQ can cause nausea, vomiting, ringing in the ears, delirium, another one of those that make you go nuts, a sense of suffocating, and collapse. Ingesting 5 grams of TBHQ will kill you dead. Now, chicken McNuggets. People are buying these for kids, and they contain lighter fluid. Are we crazy as a society or what? Oh, man, I tell you, this kind of stuff, I couldn't make this up if I had to. If I was trying to do a comedy routine, I couldn't come up with some of these things. And yet, people are doing amazing things to their body. You know, one of the things that a lot of us, for instance, do is that we drink stuff like diet soda, which is predominantly sweetened with aspartame. And aspartame is basically a poison for the nervous system. And there are a lot of people complaining of headaches. There are a lot of people complaining of muscle aches that are aspartame related. And yet people are just downing those diet sodas all day long, not even thinking about it. Look at what's in what you're eating. It's important. Which goes back to the very theme of this blog, traditionalnaturepath.com, and the podcast, and that is, you are the person most responsible for your health. Don't put it off on your doctor. Don't put it off on the medical profession. Don't put it off even on the natural health profession, naturopaths and so forth. Point your finger directly at yourself and say, I am the person most responsible for my health, which is why I believe a lot of you are out there listening to this podcast. You want to be educated on these issues. You want to know what's going on, like this business with the chicken McNuggets, so that the next time you're going through the drive-thru, assuming you would do that to begin with, but if you're forced to, you're in a situation where, well, I got to stop and get something to eat, and you're going through the drive-thru and the kids say, ooh, I want chicken McNuggets. I'm just hoping that in the back of your mind, this little sign will come up that says, you know, Dr. Bill had an article about that it's got lighter fluid in it. And you go, you know, why don't you get a nice fruit cup instead of chicken McNuggets? Whoa, lighter fluid. Man, the things we do to our kids. Oh, anyway, enough for now. We're gonna head on out of here this week. But again, I would remind you, you are the person most responsible for your personal health. I'd love to hear from you, by the way. Write me at drbill@traditionalnaturopath.com. We'll see you next time.